Welcome to The Word Unveiled, our continuing series of programs about our faith produced by St. Malachy Catholic Church in Sterling Heights, Michigan. Our pastor is Father Joseph Gambala, and my name is Gordon Peck. Our program is The Divine Comedy by Dante Alighieri. This is a study in four parts, and this is part two, which will be focused on Inferno, the first third of Dante's Divine Comedy. Now, there are three artists that will be featured in this presentation. First, there is, of course, Dante Alighieri, who lived from 1265 to 1321. He's the poet who wrote this massive epic poem. We won't cover every word of his poem, but more of a recap. And then we're featuring two visual graphic artists, and the first is Gustave Doré, who lived in France from 1832 to 1883. And his style is very classic, wood engraving, a classical type of illustration. Our second artist is Salvador Dali, the famous surrealist from Spain, who lived from 1904 to 1989. And his work will be very interpretative. So as in all things, let us begin in prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Grant us, Lord, the lamp of charity, which never fails, that it may burn in us and shed its light on those around us, and that by its brightness we may have a vision of that holy city where dwells the true and never-failing light, Jesus Christ our Lord. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, here's a couple of graphics that give us an idea of the landscape, if you will, of the Divine Comedy. The graphic on the left shows the earth. And it's interesting that in Dante's understanding was that the earth was a globe, you know, contrary to what we learned in grade school, that everybody before Columbus thought the earth was flat. That is clearly not the case. In 1313, when this was first published, Dante believed the earth was a globe, and he takes a journey into hell, into Inferno, and he'll go down through nine levels of Inferno until he gets to the very base. His journey in the second part will come up from that pit of hell to find the mountain of purgatory, and he'll ascend up through the mountain of purgatory, then fly off into space where he'll find paradise and paradiso. The graphic on the right-hand side is a more detailed and a bit more contemporary graphic to Dante's time, and it shows the Inferno as having nine levels of hell. So let's begin. And by the way, each chapter is called a canto. So here we are in canto one of the Inferno. And we read, "Midway in our life's journey, I went astray from the straight road and woke to find myself alone in a dark wood." So Dante tells us it's Good Friday. It's in the year 1300. Dante is at the midpoint of life, that is 35 years old, and he finds himself in a place that he calls the Wood of Error, or Woods of Error, a forest. He does not know how he came to be here, like many who discover themselves at midlife. And isn't that the case? Midlife crisis, you might say. He has lost his way. So Dante looks up, and he sees the Mount of Joy in the distance, and he's filled with hope. But there are three beasts of worldliness that block his path. First, there's the leopard, who represents lust and fraud. Then there's the lion, who represents violence and ambition. And then the she-wolf, who symbolizes incontinence or a lack of self-control. And these beasts all drive him back, and Dante is filled with despair because he cannot go further. And then suddenly Virgil, the ancient Roman poet, appears to guide Dante onward. Well, Virgil is Dante's symbol of human reason. And Virgil explains that there can be no direct ascent to the illumined mountain, that is heaven, without first going through hell, the recognition of sin, and ascending through purgatory, the renunciation of sin. So Virgil offers to guide Dante through hell and purgatory, but he tells him he cannot go further because there is a limit to human reason. Well, Dante feels totally unworthy of this journey and he hesitates, but Virgil explains that he has been sent to Dante by Beatrice, that's the girl that he met when he was a youth, and Dante regains hope. Dante cannot come to divine love unaided, so Beatrice sends the prayers of the Virgin Mary, which represents compassion, St. Lucy, which represents the divine light, and Rachel from the Old Testament, which represents the contemplative life, and many others. And Dante realizes that such forces cannot fail him, and he is encouraged to go forward. Well, the poets pass through the gate of hell, and they encounter a group known as the opportunists, who are neither for good or evil. They're just out for themselves. And as they sin, so they are punished. They never took a stand in life, and therefore they are pursued by bees and insects, and they run in all directions. Dante sees Pope Celestine V. Celestine V is a pope who resigned. He would not take a stand. He escaped from his responsibilities. So he's in this portion of the Inferno. And then they come to the river Acheron, which runs around the rim of hell, and they await Charon, the boatman, and Dante faints. When Dante awakens, he finds himself on the crest of the first circle of 9 circles of hell, which will lead downward into a great abyss. And the circle of hell are these: limbo, lust, gluttony, greed, anger, heresy, violence, fraud, and treachery. So each circle represents a particular sin. In limbo, they find the virtuous pagans, and these include Homer, Ovid, Socrates, Plato, Aristotle, and Virgil himself when he's not guiding Dante. These were born before the light of Christ's revelation, and they cannot come into the light, but they are not tormented either. So limbo is also a special place where the unbaptized are received, such as newborn children who died before baptism. In Canto 5, Dante and Virgil encounter Minos, the bestial judge of the dam, who assigns each person their place in hell. This is where the torments of hell properly begin, according to each one's sins. And I should say that these teachings are not the teachings of the church, and we'll pick up what the teachings of the church are in part 4 of this study. So Dante then says that the souls of those given over to carnal pleasures, that's a second circle or lust, are swept away in a fierce tempestuous wind like their uncontrolled desires in life. And here Dante sees Cleopatra, Helen of Troy, Achilles, and others who lacked control. And then we read, "There Minos sits, grinning and grotesque, and hale. He examines each lost soul as it arrives and delivers his verdict with his coiling tail. That is to say, when the ill-fated soul appears before him, it confesses all. And that grim sorter of the dark and foul decides which place in hell shall be its end." So Dante freely mixes pagan symbols and concepts with his vision of judgment. And he sees his friends, Paolo and Francesca, who are tragic lovers in an impossible dream. Now, I should mention here that Paolo and Francesca, Francesca was married to Paolo's brother in Italy, but she fell in love with Francesco, and Paolo's brother was incapable of consummating the marriage, so they had an affair, but of course it was not right, and so they're tragic lovers caught up in an impossible dilemma. In Canto 6, Dante and Virgil arrive at Circle 3, the place of the gluttons, and there's a foul stench in the air from the garbage and excrement which the souls in this place must wallow in for eternity. Cerberus, the three-headed dog, slavers over them as they slavered over their food. And Dante encounters Chiacco, a resident of Venice, resident of Florence, who asks him about the current political situation in his city. Well, Dante and Virgil arrive at Circle 4, which is greed, where a war is waging between the hoarders and the wasters. And each group is straining at boulder-like weights, pushing them together and pulling them apart again. they lack all moderation. And now it's past midnight on Good Friday, and they have come to the Marsh of the Styx, which is the last station of Upper Hell. Across the marsh in Circle 5, which is anger, they see countless souls attacking one another in foul slime. These are the wrathful, and the symbol of their punishment is obvious. Beneath the waters of the marsh are other souls. These are the sullen. These fail to welcome the sweet light of the sun, that is, divine illumination, and in death they're forever buried below the stinking waters of the marsh. In Canto 8, a signal comes from across the marsh, and a boat suddenly rushes up with Phlegyas, the boatman from the Styx, and he discovers that Dante is alive, and he tells him indignantly to leave. But Virgil is stronger than Phlegyas, and he tells him off. And as they cross the waters, a damned soul surfaces, and his name is Filippo Argenti, and he's known to Dante. And Dante tells him off, and Virgil agrees. Canto 8. As the boat continues onward, Dante sees the flaming red tower of Dis, the capital of hell. The walls of the city block the way to lower hell. All of lower hell is contained within its walls. Phlegyas deposits the poets at the iron gate, which is guarded by the rebellious angels who deny passage. These are the angels who followed Satan into hell. And even Virgil cannot persuade them because they are immune to human reason. So Virgil prays for divine assistance, and he patiently waits at Circle 6, which is the circle of heresy. Well, three furies appear, and they show the head of Medusa, at which Virgil tells Dante to look away, or he will die. And Virgil puts his hands over Dante's eyes. And suddenly, a heavenly messenger arrives and scatters the furies and throws open the gate for Dante and Virgil to enter. They are now in the sixth circle, the place of the heretics. It's a vast cemetery with tombs on every side, and the covers of the tombs are open and lying beside each grave. As they pass by, one of the damned hears Dante's voice and recognizes him. It is Farinata degli Uberti, a warrior of the Ghibellines. He recognized Dante as a political enemy. Another dead soul speaks from his grave. It's Guido Cavalcante, a poet and literary rival, but a good friend of Dante's, and he asked about his father, but Dante cannot answer him. Uberti then predicts Dante's exile from Florence and defends his part. So events in Dante's life are played out here in the Inferno. And when the poets reach the inner edge of the sixth circle, they find a jumble of rocks created by the earthquake on Good Friday. The air is very putrid in this place, and they cower behind a tomb until they get used to it. The inscription on the tomb reads, Pope Anastasius. But Dante may have confused this pontiff with the Byzantine Emperor Anastasius, who denied the divinity of Christ. So Dante was an educated man, but he could make mistakes. Virgil reveals that all the sins of incontinence have now been experienced. The remaining levels of hell are for gross premeditated actions. Well, the poets begin their descent of the fallen rock wall of Circle 7, Round 1, and suddenly the Minotaur appears and harasses them. But Virgil tricks the beast, and he and Dante pass by. And below them, they see the River of Blood. In this river are punished those who have done violence against their neighbors. As they wallowed in blood during their life, so they are immersed in a river of boiling blood for eternity. Alexander the Great, Attila the Hun, and other similar tyrants are trapped here. Any who attempt to escape from the river are shot with arrows by centaurs who patrol the banks. In Canto 13, Nessus is summoned to carry them across the River of Boiling Blood to the second round of Circle 7, the Wood of the Suicides. The soul of the suicides are encased in thorny trees. Those who destroyed their bodies are denied a body in eternity. Harpies, that is, monstrous birds with women's heads, alight on the branches. And when the harpies gnaw on the branches bleed, and only when they bleed are the damned souls able to speak. In the same wood, the poets see Giacomo da Sant'Andrea, a famous squanderer and destroyer of goods, pursued by a pack of savage hounds. The hounds overtake Sant'Andrea, rip him to pieces, and go off carrying his limbs in their bloody teeth, symbolic retribution for the violence of his former life. Dante and Virgil now move on to the plain of burning sand, upon which a slow and steady rain of fire descends. There are three classes of sinners here: the blasphemers, those who committed sins against God, the sodomites, violence against nature, and the usurers, violence against art. The symbolism of the burning plain is centered on sterility, the desert image, and wrath, the fire image. So blasphemy, sodomy, and usury are all unnatural, sterile actions. Dante and Virgil then walk along the edge of the great cliff. This is circle 7, round 3, from where they can see the eighth circle. They pass roving bands of sodomites. One of the sinners stops when he sees Dante. He is Ser Brunetto Latini, a dear friend and fellow poet who greatly influenced Dante's work. Latini predicts that Dante will suffer much at the hands of the Florentines, and Dante is saddened for his friend's plight. Canto 16. As Dante and Virgil walk along the edge of the great cliff toward a distant waterfall, three wraiths approach. They are Jacopo Rusticucci, Guido Guerra, and Teghiario Aldobrandi, all Florentines and friends of Dante who agreed with their politics. They ask about the situation in Florence, and Dante laments that it is very divided and that he is very discouraged. And then Virgil takes a cord from Dante and lets it fall over the precipice, and a monster arises. The monstrous creature lands on the cliff and is Giron, the monster of fraud. And Virgil announces that they must fly down from the cliff on the back of the monster while he negotiates for this. Dante talks with some of the usurers. Dante realizes they are all Florentines. And then he joins Virgil and they fly from the hell of the violent, sins of the lion, to the hell of the fraudulent and malicious. These are the sins of the leopard. The poets now find themselves on the eighth circle called the Malbogue, or the evil ditches. And the damned souls in these ditches are panderers and seducers, flatterers, simoniacs, that is, selling ecclesiastical or church pardons, fortune tellers and diviners, grafters or swindlers, hypocrites, thieves, evil counselors, sowers of discord, and falsifiers and betrayers. Now, a series of stone dikes runs from the edge of the place to the center of the place, and Dante and Virgil walk along these bridges. And when they come to the ditch of the seducers, they see the dam being driven on by demons with whips, which symbolizes how the sinners drove people towards sin in their lives. In the second pit, they see flatterers sunk in excrement, an equivalent of their false flatteries on earth. Dante sees poet Alessio Interminelli, and he passes on. Dante next comes to the simoniacs. These are sellers of religious favors, and his heart is filled with wrath. The place is lined with sinkholes where sinners are baptized upside down, and then they slip away into rock crevices, never to be seen again. The punishment is symbolic of the offense. Dante sees Pope Nicholas III in this place, a symbol of those who corrupt the church, and Dante's politics brought him into conflict with the church frequently. The poets next come to the place of the fortune tellers and diviners, where they see the souls who practice the forbidden arts of looking into the future. The sins of these persons is reversed upon them, and they are condemned to walk with their heads turned backwards throughout eternity. Dante sees Simon Magus, the fortune teller encountered by St. Paul when he went to Cyprus, and he sees him in this place. Dante and Virgil now go ever downward until they come to the ditch of the grafters or swindlers. And these souls are condemned to wallow in pools of sticky pitch, symbolic of their sticky fingers in stealing honest person's wealth. Demons appear and tear the skinner's sin with grappling hooks, and when they attempt to rise, anytime they attempt to rise above the swamp. And Dante sees a senator of the city of Lucca thrown into the swamp where a horde of demons jump upon him. Dante and Virgil continue their journey, but they see many grafters lying like frogs in the pitch, and the demons swoop down and rip off pieces of their flesh when they see them. One Navarrese ducks too late and is seized by the demon Curlybeard. Curlybeard holds him while Virgil questions him, and the Navarrese offers to lure other sinners to the surface of the swamp if the demons will stop tormenting him. They agree, but a riot breaks out, and Virgil urges Dante to move on. Well, Dante and Virgil escape from the rioting demons by sliding down the slope to the next ditch, the place of the hypocrites. The hypocrites wear heavy robes, beautiful on the outside, but heavily weighted on the inside, reflecting the weight of the terrible sins they must carry through eternity. Here they find Caiaphas, the high priest at the time of the crucifixion. He is nailed to a cross on the ground, and everyone steps on him as they move through the area. Dante and Virgil move on to the seventh ditch, which is inhabited by the thieves. And the thieves are attacked and repeatedly bitten by reptiles. Thievery is reptilian in its secrecy and is therefore punished by reptiles. When each sinner is bitten by the reptiles, they burst into flames and then become ashes, only to take form again and suffer the same terror over and over for eternity. One of the thieves, Vanni Fuchi, predicts the rise of the black Guelphs in Florence, Dante's political enemies. Canto 25. Dante then meets five notorious thieves of Florence, and he sees further retribution visited upon them. Endless and painful transformation is the final state of these thieves. In life, they took the substance of others, transforming it into their own, so in hell, their very bodies are constantly being taken from them, and they are left to steal back a human form from another sinner. Dante then leaves the thieves of the noble families of Florence behind, and he moves toward the ditch of evil counselors. Now, Dante was a magistrate of Florence, and he was exiled by men he considered to be both thieves and evil counselors. And these evil counselors abused their gifts from the Almighty and worked by hidden ways to achieve their ends. So they are now hidden from sight behind fierce flames. In the eighth circle, Dante encounters a soul who is a Franciscan, an advisor to Pope Boniface VIII, who asked him how to destroy his enemies. Because he complied with this evil request, he was thrust back into his old sins. And after he died, St. Francis came to retrieve him, but a devil said that this soul's name was written in his book because the sinner resolved to give false counsel. Canto 28, we see the sowers of discord and scandal. The first figure they see is Muhammad, the founder of Islam, disemboweled because of his perversion of faith. A headless figure holds his head up to the poets, and he is Bertrand de Born, who set the young king of England to mutiny against his father, Henry III. Because he parted father and son, he spends eternity with his head parted from his body. In Canto 29, Dante lingers on the edge of the ninth ditch, expecting to see Geri del Bello, a kinsman. Virgil tells him he was in a crevice shouting curses at Dante, but Dante moves on. This is the place of the falsifiers. They are punished by afflictions of every sense, by darkness, stench, thirst, filth, and loathsome diseases. Just as in life they corrupted society by their falsifications, so in death these sinners are subjected to a sum of corruptions. Next, the poets come to the place of evil impersonators who chase each other and snatch and tear at each other's bodies in order to gain a false identity. Beyond these are the counterfeiters and the false witnesses. And here Dante recognizes Potiphar's wife among the false witnesses for her lies in accusing Joseph. That's Joseph from the Bible, the Joseph who was sold into slavery, bought by Potiphar, and Potiphar's wife attempts to seduce him. Then Virgil admonishes Dante for looking too long upon such evils. Canto 31. As Dante and Virgil approach the edge of the final pit, they see what looks like towers in the distance. And when they draw closer, they see that these are giants, standing so that their upper bodies appear above the edge of the pit. Here is Nimrod, builder of the Tower of Babel, speaking a language nobody knows. And Anteus, a giant who fought Hercules, bends down and lifts Dante and Virgil, depositing them on the lowest level of the Inferno. So again, Dante mixes scripture and mythology in the characters he portrays here in the Inferno. Canto 32. At the bottom of the pit, Dante finds himself standing upon a frozen lake, Cocytus. The damned in this place are frozen immobile in ice. Theirs are the sins of treachery against those to whom they had special ties. And the river that flows into the lake is named Cana, after Cain, the brother who killed Abel. A second river is named Atenora, after the Trojan warrior who betrayed his family and friends. Dante accidentally kicks the head of Bocca degli Abati, and then he proceeds to berate him with savage verbal attacks he has not shown to any other condemned soul. And the poets move on, and they see two heads frozen in a single hole. One is gnawing on the nape of the other's neck. The sinner who is gnawing his companion's head is Count Ugolino, and his victim is Archbishop Ruggieri. And in life, they were co-conspirators until Ruggieri betrayed Ugolino and had him imprisoned. Ugolino tells how he and his four sons were imprisoned together and the jail sealed. He had to watch his sons die one by one from starvation. Now he feeds off of Ruggieri. Finally, they come to the lowest levels of the Inferno and they discover Satan. His angel's wings have become bat's wings, and their incessant flapping cools the waters and turns it to ice. Satan is trapped in this ice and he cannot move. He has three faces in mock imitation of the Holy Trinity. In one mouth, he gnaws Judas Iscariot, and the others, the traitors Brutus and Cassius. Dante and Virgil walk across the ice to the body of Satan, and through a crevice, they climb downward until they come out into the light of day again. They have exited hell and are now at the base of the mountain of purgatory, which is directly opposite the city of Jerusalem on the southern side of the earth. And it is now Easter morning. So, in summary, Dante has lived his life in an age of great turmoil and violence. Faith has been cast off and worldly pursuits dominated his and others' life. And he's exhibited pride in his accomplishments and impatience with others, especially in politics and ecclesial maneuverings. And he finds himself at midlife in need of a spiritual advisor and a guide. And Dante portrays the Inferno as a place chosen by its occupants. God has not condemned them to hell. They have condemned themselves there. They have made the choice. There's no contrition or repentance exhibited by any of the shades or souls that Dante encounters. God's mercy can save all, but they must bend their stubborn wills to the same purpose. These are essentially and eternally the lost souls that Dante sees in the Inferno. Dante has been called by the spirits of Beatrice, Faith and Holiness, and Virgil, Human Reason, to examine his conscience and soul. And in his journey through the Inferno, he has focused upon what is disordered in his own life. He's now ready to set about to correct the deficiencies and gain what Beatrice, a symbol of the redemptive love of God, out of compassion, wants for him. So in closing, let us pray. name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks for listening. Peace be with you.